You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
A very good evening to all the Eagle FM listeners. This is another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. Eagle FM's in-house sports program. As usual, I am your host, Hende, for the evening. I will be with you until 8 p.m. this chilly Sunday evening in the capital on the Eagle Sports Zone. We talk all things sports, whether it's on the field, off the field. Mainly we focus on off the field, but we like to cover it all. We like to have insightful, educative conversations on all the things that make the industry what it is. And we like to hear from the people that make the industry what it is. And because of that, today we're going to talk a little bit on sports commercialization. Today we're going to keep it local. I know we've spoken about it before, but today we're going to keep it strictly local in terms of what's happening locally in Namibia. And for that, we will be joined by none other than the CEO of Cricket Namibia, and that is Johan Muller. We're going to have a conversation on him on how Cricket Namibia has managed to commercialize things, how they've grown over the years, and yeah, how they've managed to commercialize the sport at all levels, not just the senior team, but the junior sides as well. But of course, before we get into some local news first, local sports news, see what's happening in and around the country. But before we get to that, do remember that if you haven't already, it's a must, you need to download the Eagle FM mobile application. And that costs you a total of $0 to download, either from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. Download the Imba mobile app. That is a digital hymn book in the palm of your hand that has hymn books from all sorts of denominations in all sorts of languages, whether that's English, Oshiwambo, German, Afrikaans, Silozi, Damara Nama, Herero, you name it. If it exists, it's more than likely in there. Don't forget, there's a great digital display for you to be interacting with. Whether you're looking for a job, whether you're looking for the latest budget, latest census report, all kinds of reports are loaded in there. All kinds of documents are loaded in there. We're just here to assist you become a more informed citizen, so you can become an active participant in the economy. On the Eagle FM application, if for whatever reason you weren't able to tune in live, the podcasts are right there in the application available for you. If you're looking for last week's episode of the Eagle Sports Zone, where we talked to the Rundu Chiefs chairman, we spoke to the new Netball Namibia president, we spoke to a bunch of people. We spoke to Isaac Imata from the NFA. If you want to hear those conversations in depth, simply go to the podcast section in the Eagle FM mobile application. And again, you can tune in to Eagle FM programming from anywhere in the world. Whether you're in Namibia, whether you're in South Africa, whether you're in Angola, maybe you're in China, maybe you're in Australia, in the US. I know we have listeners in all these countries that I'm naming. So wherever you are tuned into from the world, you are welcome on the Eagle Sports Zone. Don't forget, you can also tune in via the website. That's www.eaglefm.com.na. Same thing there. If you're looking for the podcast, they're all available for you there. From last week, last month, last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Everything is there for you for free. And tomorrow is Monday. Even though it's a public holiday, we will be observing Africa Day. But the Villager e-paper will still be published directly to either your mobile device or to your email address. If you haven't subscribed, all you have to do is send a WhatsApp message to 081-200-4144. That's 081-200-4144. And be sure to save the number as a contact so that every Monday, Wednesday, Friday morning, the Villager e-paper is pinged directly to your WhatsApp and you'll be able to take in the latest business, economic, agricultural, sporting news as well. The Villager, same thing as the mobile applications, is an interactive paper, meaning there's things for you to engage with, things for you to interact with. Once again, 081-200-4144 if you want to become a subscriber of The Villager. And if you'd like to dial into the studio to engage in today's topic or conversation, the number in the studio is 083-288-401. That's 083-288-401. We will get into some local sports news. On the other side of this brief intermission from our friend, Eagle Sports Zone regular, Mr. Jimmy Cliff, we'll get into the Demarine Namibia Premiership. We'll get into some rugby news, and then we will get into our topic of the day, which is commercializing sport, where we will be joined by Johan Muller, CEO of Cricket Namibia. See you on the other side of this. Before Mr. Cliff continues, let's quickly pay some bills.
Appreciate these things you might have taken. At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low, because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Let's give it back to Mr. Jimmy Cliff and we'll be right back.
The music of the ghetto, Ilya Emu Zen. Sao Paulo,
samba reggae,
rocking in Rio,
samba reggae.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. Let's get into some local sporting news. We'll start with the Demarine Namibia Premiership. Rounds 26 and 27 took place over the weekend. With round 26, that was yesterday, we had African Stars beating Ongos 2-0. Bucks Buccaneers and Mighty Gunners are drawing 1-1. Cougar Tops losing 1-0 to Chula Chula. As we know, Cougar Tops are already relegated. KK Palace and Julinho playing to a 0-0 draw. UNAM FC, the Clever Boys, beating Okanja United 2-0. Young Brazilians lost 2-1 to Blue Waters. Comas Nampo beat Blue Boys 3-0, and Young African beat Tigers 1-0. So after that, after yesterday's fixtures, African Stars remained at the top of the table. They were on 50 points after yesterday, 2 points ahead of Young African. And so after that meant there were 4 games left. The round 27... Round 27 results, we have Cougar Tops and KK Palace playing to a 0-0 draw. Comas Nampo and Blue Waters playing, Blue Waters winning that one 3-1, excuse me. Young Brazilians beating Blue Boys 2-1. Mighty Gunners beating UNAM, the Clever Boys 1-0. Young African and Ongos playing to a 1-1 draw. Julinho losing 1-0 to Chula Chula, and African Stars beating Tigers 2-0. And last but not least, Okahanja United beating Bucks Buccaneers 3-2. Blue Boys, aka Ospana Yetu, have now been relegated from the league, after spending just one season in the division. They are now back in the first division. And African Stars continuing their title charge, one could say, collecting maximum points once again. So that means they are now on 53 points, with Young African on 49. So African Stars are 4 points in the lead. Doesn't look like they will be stopped anytime soon. And now moving on to the Namibia Rugby Union, where round 8 of the league took place. As we, for those that don't know, they're only playing one round of fixtures, this time around, so that the union can focus on World Cup qualification. But, round 8 took place with FNB Kudus beating FNB UNAM 40-39. And that was quite a back and forth fixture. I was there for that one. Very entertaining. Crowd was engaged. As always, the Kudus supporters traveled. Was a good atmosphere there at the Hage Geingob Stadium. And FNB Dolphin losing to Trasco United 58-28. And if I'm not mistaken, let me just confirm that. That Dolphins finished the season without a victory. So the side from the coast not doing too well this year. Last year they didn't do too well either, actually. They might have won once or twice last year, but struggling there at the coast. Nonetheless, FNB Wanderers and FNB Western Suburbs. Wanderers took that one 78-21, continuing their dominance. FNB Grootfontein and FNB Rehoboth. Grootfontein taking that one 41-39. And as I said, this was the last round of normal league play. It will now be the semi-finals next weekend with Wanderers, Kudus, Grootfontein, and United making the semi-finals. So Wanderers will look to defend their league title next weekend. We have the CAF Champions League also took place, the final, in which our very own Peter Shalulile is playing. That ended in a 1-1 draw. As you know, the CAF Champions League, they play two legs. I should have looked this up before, actually, but there's not too many finals anymore where they play two legs. That might be... There's probably only a handful where that is still happening. But, so Sundowns will go into the second leg in Egypt, looking to secure the continental title. And as we all know, it is Shalulile's final season there. So it would be good to see him end with some more silverware on top of the league title that they've won this season. And it will be interesting to see actually where he ends up at the end of the season. So, that's all we had in terms of local news. Let's get into some European football results. Final weekend of the English Premier League. As we already know, Liverpool have sealed the title some weeks ago already. But at the moment, they are losing to Crystal Palace 1-0. Manchester United, Aston Villa are 0-0 at the moment. Man City are beating Fulham 1-0 thanks to a goal from Ilkay Gundogan. Chelsea are beating Nottingham Forest 1-0. That will be crucial for Champions League qualification that they are in the quest for. As it stands currently, the live table, Chelsea are on 69 points in fourth, and City are in third place on 71 points. Aston Villa are in fifth on 67. Newcastle are in sixth on 66. And Forest are in seventh on 65 points. So about 20, 25 minutes remaining in all the fixtures. And we shall see who gets to qualify for the Champions League. Arsenal are drawing right now with Southampton 1-1. Yes, those are all the English Premier League results there that we have. Most European leagues have wrapped up by now. We know Barcelona took the Spanish title. We know Napoli took the Italian title over the weekend. Bayern took the German title some weeks ago as well. So now all that's left in the European football calendar is the Champions League, UEFA Champions League, and the UEFA Conference League. So, moving on to our conversation of the day. Don't forget you can call in at 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. Our conversation of the day is about sports commercialization. A topic we speak about here or reference on here often. But today I wanted to keep it a bit more local than what we normally do. Because, you know, normally we like to bring in examples from abroad. You know, that's what we like to learn from. The best people to learn from are the ones currently doing what it is that we're trying to do here. But wanted to make sure the conversation remains local. And to do that, I wanted to bring in someone or an organization, the leader of said organization that's been the one can say the standard for commercialization in the country. Wasn't always that way. Definitely took some time for them to do so. I'm talking about Cricket Namibia now. And wanted to get some insight into how they've achieved what they've achieved. How others can learn from what they've achieved. If it can even be replicated in other sports. You know, when a lot of people hear cricket, there's a large stigma around cricket. Understandably so as well. But there's a large stigma around cricket that only a certain type of people play cricket, that it's not all over the country, that it's not accessible, so on and so on. Which on the surface is a reasonable conclusion one could come to. But once you peel back the layers and learn more about the Federation, learn more about the initiatives, one sees that they're actually an exemplary Federation. Struggling to speak today. So, let's take a listen to what the CEO of this federation had to say. And do remember that when we covered the sports awards here on the Eagle Sports Zone, that they won Federation of the Year, and it turns out that they had won this award now for the past six, seven years. So it's not just me saying that they are one of the better federations. They have awards that show that they are not only local ones, but international ones as well. You know, we've spoken before about, the recognition they received from the ICC. That's the International Cricket Council, the FIFA of cricket, if you like. I mean, there's a reason they've entrusted Namibia with co-hosting the upcoming Men's World Cup, Under 19 and Senior World Cup. So let's take a listen. Actually, before we take a listen, I just remembered now when I was speaking about the awards, the Regional Sports Awards, Region 5 Sports Awards, so that's SADC essentially, or COSAFA, all those regions, took place. This was last evening, and some of the notable award winners, Sportman of the Year, I think that was pretty obvious that was going to go to Letsile Tebogo, the Botswanan sprinter who won at the Olympics, the 2024 Olympics. Sportswoman of the Year, Tabitha Chawinga of Malawi. She plays football. The country of the year was Zimbabwe, so they got recognized for what they're doing. All the things that they're achieving in sports. Which, when I saw that Zimbabwe won, that made me think about, the new IOC president, Kirsty Coventry, who's from there. So, meaning that Zimbabwe was achieving great things during her tenure as Minister of Sports. We'll research and actually bring to the Eagle Sports Zone, something I just thought of now on the fly. Would be interesting to see exactly what it is that the country achieved during her tenure. But team of the year was the Botswana 4x100 men's relay team. Junior female sportsperson of the year, Mercy Chipasula. She plays football, Zambian footballer. And then junior male sportsperson of the year, Colin Busang, track and field for Botswana. Botswana had a good year this year at the awards. The track and field coach also won coach of the year. So a strong year for our neighbors, Botswana. But yes, let's get back to what we were here for, and that was to hear from the Cricket Namibia CEO, Johan Muller. Let's take a listen to what it is that he had to say, especially in the realm of sports commercialization. And don't forget, you can join the program at any time at 083-288-401, and that's 083-288-401.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Okay, we are now joined by the CEO of Cricket Namibia, Mr. Johan Muller. Johan, thank you very much for making time for us today.
No, it's a pleasure. It's great to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you. So let's get right into it. Please briefly introduce yourself and walk us through the journey of how you got to where you are today as the CEO of Cricket Namibia.
Yeah, thank you. It's been quite a journey in cricket. I've been in cricket my entire life, just different capacities. After studying at University of Pretoria, which I studied sports psychology and human movement science, I started my career as a coach, a very young 23-year-old coach.
Yeah.
Also got married that year, but that was the passion at that stage. And then that turned into coach education in 2011 after quite a bit of an extensive coaching journey at various levels. And mainly that capacity was to educate and to qualify coaches in the Cricket South Africa system from grade one or level one to level three coaches, at various different levels and different capacities. And then I started studying into business, which was an interest more than anything else.
Yeah.
And I started growing and liking the concept of business and sport, and then went into management in 2014,
mm-hmm.
Managing all the operations and so forth of the Titans, which is a very prominent cricket franchise in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Then I did my postgrad in postgraduate diploma in general management, and then my MBA in the master's in business administration,
mm-hmm.
and that led me here. So it was a bit of a journey of cricket, different capacities, studying into something that's of interest that became your primary business.
Yeah, so a very qualified individual at the helm of Cricket Namibia. It's good to hear. So on the show, on the Eagle Sports Zone, commercialization of sports is a big topic on the show. And as I would say, as the leading federation when it comes to commercialization in Namibian sports, give us a bit of an overview in terms of how Cricket Namibia has been able to commercialize the sport essentially in the country.
Thank you for the compliment. It's been a challenge in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
When I started here, we were bankrupt. We were 5 million in debt. We couldn't pay our creditors.
No.
It was an uphill battle. The image, the brand of Cricket Namibia wasn't strong.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have a good reputation. We didn't live up to what we said. We didn't communicate well. We didn't organize good events. So at that stage, no commercial partner wanted to touch you because the product that you offer is not of value to them.
Yeah.
And in the end, we are a sport business. So we had to clean up our act. We had to make sure that we start communicating properly, that we start creating products that commercial partners will be interested in, where they see value in products that serves a wider variety of Namibians, mm-hmm. not just one sector, one demographic. And that took quite a bit of a journey. My first 3 months here, I went to see 100 different corporate companies and didn't get one sponsorship.
Really?
And that was because of our image and our position as where we were as a brand. And once that started changing, partners got involved
mm-hmm.
in small capacities. And that's also what we had to do, is we had to bring or break up our designations into very small pieces
mm-hmm.
because we couldn't attract a big sponsor due to everything I explained now.
Yeah.
And we literally broke every designation up into smaller entities, and we bartered quite a lot, where it's exchange of value and no cash exchanges.
Mm-hmm.
Up until we grew into a much stronger brand that corporates feel trusted to get involved in, that they feel they get value back, that they feel there's also different products that would fit their strategy in terms of a corporate, because it needs to align. If it doesn't align, there's no unity.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's become, with the stadium, it becomes something completely different, because mm-hmm. now we actually got an asset. We've got a place where we can invite people to, where they can put a brand up, where they can host events. And it's got easier and easier, but we did had to do the hard yards in the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people wouldn't, seeing where Cricket Namibia is now, they wouldn't think that, you know, that there was a time where you were 5 million in the hole and things like that. So it's good to hear that it was built essentially from the ground up. Now, in the manifesto implementation plan of the incoming government, sports is listed as priority number 2, as I'm sure you are aware. And, you took over as a CEO towards the end of the previous administration. So I was just curious, it's a 2-part question now. Have you noticed a difference between the previous and current administration? And then how do governmental policies influence the operations of a sports federation?
Yeah, maybe let's start with the last part of that question. Is I think mm-hmm. policies from government does impact quite a lot, and that the ministry can only really, really run out what that policies is what they receive from government.
Mm-hmm.
We always worked exceptionally well with the Ministry of Sport, the previous minister and deputy minister. We've got a lot of respect for them, and they did a lot for sport.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone in sport got excited with the new budget announcement.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that links hand in hand to a new minister and a new ministry. We had two engagements with them by now, and there's a positive environment around sporting federations and the ministry.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say that the one ministry is better or different than the other. I would just say that I think the one has got more leverage and more tools because of the policy from government that has changed and focused on sport and education.
Mm-hmm.
But I can definitely pick up there's an excitement. from all federations regarding the prioritizing of sport from a budget perspective.
Yeah, most definitely. It's quite, the excitement is quite, quite tangible in the sports community, I would say. So, amongst the initiatives listed is the desire to increase public-private partnerships in the industry. And as we alluded to before, Cricket Namibia now has a plethora of partnerships. I mean, almost everything that the federation does is, has some sort of a partner attached to it. If there's any advice that you could give to other federations when it comes to securing these partnerships, what would it be?
I think one of the most critical things is to not view yourself as a sport.
Mm-hmm.
Sport is only your product or your service that you're rendering. You need to be business viable. So understand your product, understand what you are selling, and understand what value you're giving back.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that, that's critical for corporates is that, why would I do this again? If I help you in this event, what would make me support you again? And what would make you make me support you in a higher or bigger capacity?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to know what your product is. You need to know what you're selling, and you need to understand what value you can give back to make it worthwhile for that partner.
Most definitely. Now, still sticking on Cricket Namibia as a federation, a lot of people, especially people that listen to the show, they don't know that Cricket Namibia is a federation with global recognition. So if you could, give us, some insight into some of the pillars that have put Cricket Namibia into the position it is today as like a global leader, one can say.
I think it all started with the new board coming into leadership in June 2018. When Dr. Rudy van Vieren, Pauline Ngongo, Daniel van der Walt, André Snyman, a couple of others took over the responsibility of leading cricket into a different era.
Mm-hmm.
They consulted obviously with quite a number of people, and they had a view from the start is to make cricket a business and to run it like a business. And they, and they appointed people in full-time capacity to be able to do that. But we run under a very clear vision, and that is to be globally competitive, professional, values-based sport of choice in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the five pillars that we literally base everything we do on. Every financial decision, every strategic decision, every appointment we make needs to fit into that vision.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't fit the vision, we don't do it.
Yeah.
And that comes all from really strong leadership from the board.
No, that's great to hear, and I hope the listeners are taking note of the specific language you're using now when it comes to talking about sports as more than just a game, so to say. So now the stadium, the new stadium, is nearing completion. Walk us through this unprecedented journey of building a world-class facility from the ground up. And if I'm not mistaken, you could correct me if I'm wrong, it was completely privately funded as well. So if you could, just walk us through that journey of getting to where we are today.
That's a question with quite a long answer. So I'll unpack it a bit, and maybe I should start with the revenue models, because it's quite unique. We did a lot of homework. Part of my master's thesis was to research sports stadia across the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I did financial analysis on the AFS financial statements of quite a number of them. Over 40 professional cricket institutions.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I found was that the only ones that makes break even or it's financially stable are the ones that are able to generate income from non-cricket days, non-match days, non-ticket sales, but create other streams of revenue. So that was a core principle for us from the start is we need to create something that cannot just only sustain itself, but generate income on a non-match day. So that was the primary focus. Then, when we started in the design phase, we literally visited 11 different international stadiums, spoke to their CEOs, visited them on match day to understand how they function, how do they cater for 15,000 people, what security needs to be in place, functionality of rooms, space, board of broadcasting, etc. And that was all done. We even send our architect to visit some of these stadiums to make sure that what he designs is actually up there in terms of world standard, but is Namibianized. From the start, we said we wanted a Namibian stadium where Namibians can come and feel the environment is conducive for them to enjoy it. Family environment, a open space in nature type of environment.
Mm-hmm.
So that was our mindset from the start. How we funded it is an interesting story. We started when we were still bankrupt.
Really?
We had this policy, put this policy in place through Daniel van der Walt, our finance board member,
mm-hmm.
That every exchange rate gain, so that means we get funded in US dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And we budget on a very realistic, forecast that we run through F&B and then we work.
Eagle FM, good evening.
Yes, good evening, and the guest of honor there.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Thank you. Before I forget, I don't want to, I've been listening and I don't want to forget this point.
Yeah.
Last time you had Mr. Amata.
Yeah.
And then this time again is now commercial.
Mm.
And we know sport is it's one of the, it's a creator of employment.
Yes, it is.
And when it comes to now, like he's talking about stadium and issues of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Last time, Mr. Amata, I think he alluded to an issue of scatter. People performing, they are scattered. Some of them are this field, some of them are this field, and the games are taking place at the same time.
Yeah.
So that spacing creates some kind of perception that the people are not coming to support our local teams and things like that. It could be true,
mm-hmm.
but what do we then do in terms of really bringing this to have a very united front? To make sure that the support base is not scattered around, you know, people are divided and things like that. I understand it's maybe other issues, logistic and other issues.
Mm-hmm.
But if people can come together at one field and people more games are played there, I think that will also create the spirit of, you know, the support.
Yeah.
So I don't know how, what you can say about that. And in terms of branding, so we seriously last time talk about discipline. Discipline does not mean only violence and things like that, but even though those things that are also detected somehow.
Yeah.
So, but discipline means also, I include a lot of things in it. But when it comes to behaviors, we are still divided. I know we can support different teams and things like that, but even the players themselves, are they seriously taken care of?
Mm.
Or maybe it's because that's not their full-time job, but we need to come to the level where people can really, you know, they can consider those things as their full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
So those who are working is fine, but those who are not gainfully employed, they should be able to get money from this thing. And the corporate company should really come in where there are rules and the issues of those bureaucratic and whatever. So they should then indicate that, yes, when we come to this level, these are the obstacles. So thank you very much for coming. So we need to seriously commercialize some of these sports activities.
Yeah.
In the school, there are physical education.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really, I'm not so sure whether it's considered to be a strong force in terms of mobilizing the kid learners to have the love of sports.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming through.
Good.
Have a good day. Yes, there was a listener there with some valid points. Especially on the part when it comes to discipline. But, let's continue to hear what, Johan has to say.
Book on their calculations.
Yeah.
But then all the gains we make from the funding, we put away from the start in the infrastructure development fund.
Okay.
And obviously that grew and we knew that we wanted to develop infrastructure for that.
Mm-hmm.
In the start, it was literally just to build something that we can play club cricket on. So that was in the beginning. But as the amount grew, the vision grew, Then what we did was, at the States, ICC increased their funding to all members,
mm-hmm.
and we did not increase our operational expenses.
Mm-hmm.
We literally put a lot of that money into our infrastructure fund. We were also very clever in generating income through broadcasting and sponsorships,
yeah.
and we put a lot of that away into infrastructure.
Yeah.
And then came the World Cup announcement, the fact that we actually won the bid to host the two World Cups.
Mm-hmm.
And we only learned later that there's a hosting fee involved.
Yeah.
But the hosting fee...
Oh, that you have to pay?
No. Hosting fee that we receive for hosting it. But the hosting fee comes with a minimum standards document. So you have to supply everything required for the World Cup to be able to take place.
Mm-hmm.
But that immediately put our designs into a different scale, to a different level. Then we also created stadium partners. So that is corporates that wants to be involved, want to help, but it's not necessarily a cash partner.
Mm.
They would give material like piping, tiles, etc. And we've got quite a number of them. So they reduce your building cost.
Mm.
Then we went to equity partners. So that's companies that give upfront capital to own a piece of the stadium. So that section of the stadium literally becomes theirs to use and to brand.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got sponsorship from F&B as a naming partner, which is a cash value sponsorship. And then we're extremely grateful for the help of government, who in this year donated quite a number of millions to the project, which now means that we can build everything we need to build for hosting these glamorous events, without having to go to a bank.
Yeah.
So it's actually a very interesting story on how we funded it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a stadium designed to be a business sports hub on a day-to-day basis and convert into an international cricket stadium on match day.
Yeah, no, it's a very, very interesting story to hear, especially to hear about the different sources of or different assets within the facility that generate revenue, as you stated, and that will generate revenue, you know, January to December, even when there's no cricket taking place at the facility. And it's also, I'm glad that you mentioned that plans to build this facility took place long before, like, we, the public, actually saw, like, physical developments taking place. It wasn't a decision that was made, like, last night or something,
yes.
You know? So now, moving on to the World Cup. Firstly, as a federation, how does it feel to have facilitated the co-hosting of, I think not many would argue, would be the biggest sporting event to come to Namibia?
It is quite a big event. The Under-19 World Cup is broadcasted in 220 countries.
Mm-hmm.
ICC have got 1.3 billion fans.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the exposure that the country will receive. There's also a documentary team that comes in 10 days before the World Cup to take scenic photos, photos to promote the country.
Mm-hmm.
The Men's World Cup is besides the Olympic Games and a FIFA World Cup, the biggest event in the sports sector.
Yeah.
So, and we're hosting three of those matches, maybe even possibly four. So I do believe from that perspective, it is a high value tournament, not necessarily based on the number of spectators, but in terms of the exposure the country will receive internationally.
Yeah.
And with everything that's the positivity that's happening in the country at the moment, the tourism, the oil, the hydrogen, all the developments, mining sector,
mm-hmm.
I think it's the perfect platform for Namibia to use the World Cup to create exposure for Namibia out in the world.
Most definitely. And on a personal level, I'm very excited for the World Cup to actually come here and just to experience that. Cause I mean, as a local sports fan, I can't remember an event of that magnitude coming to Namibia. So it would definitely be a first. Now, when it comes to some of that economic impact that you mentioned, of course, as a country, we're all behind Craig and the team. But I was curious if in the event that we don't qualify for the World Cup, what would you think would be the economic difference in the economic impact, excuse me, the difference between Namibia qualifying for the World Cup and hosting and Namibia not qualifying and hosting? Do you think there would be discrepancies in the economic impact?
Not on an economic impact. It would be from a local fan base impact.
Mm-hmm.
We would have been able to draw quite a high local community to come and watch the games if Namibia can qualify.
Mm-hmm.
I think the economic impact will increase if Namibia doesn't play. because now we're hosting teams from other countries and their fans will travel in and their fans will spend money in our country and book hotels, etc.
Yeah.
So I actually think it's a bigger economic impact if we don't qualify. But obviously for us, we have to plan a World Cup that we're hosting.
Exactly.
So we don't measure it based on economic impact. We measure it based on the concept that if we play in a world stage like that in our own country, what can it do for the local Namibian fan to get into cricket, to understand cricket, to be part of cricket, to become part of us and join this entire adventure? So besides the economic impact, we really see us qualifying majorly for the purpose of taking cricket further and further into the communities.
Yeah. And now speaking of taking cricket further into the community, a lot of people on the show call in and talk about how there's a need to bring sports to places in Namibia other than, you know, Windhoek, Swakop, maybe you can say Tsumeb and so on. Talk to the listeners a little bit about the Kwata program that cricket has and give them some insight into the actual reach that this program has and how many people in which communities this program reaches.
That's just the Ashburton Kwata Mini Cricket Program is such a success story. Not from the fact that we've won the national awards on it or the international from ICC, the International Development Program of the Year, twice in a row, but what it does for community growth. So we're in all 14 regions. Last year we weren't able to do Caprivi as we wanted. At all 14 regions, 14 full-time appointed coaches in different towns. They go on road shows three times a year. So besides doing their daily programs at schools in their different towns, they use the school holidays to travel and venture into villages and to make sure that that we expand the program to the far-reaching, the ones who do not have access to other sporting codes or to a sport for that matter. That program last year reached more than 160,000 primary school kids.
Yeah.
So that means one out of every 4.5 primary school children in this country had access to cricket. Our focus last year was not necessarily to expand that reach, but to make sure that kids can play more regularly.
Yeah.
So, and you would know that in terms of distance in this country becomes expensive to travel.
Exactly.
But our focus is not just to see a kid once, but to be able for them to participate regularly. And that was a big strategic focus. So that program funded by FNB, Federation, under the Ashburton banner, they are longer standing partner, and that program has just changed lives in the last 10 years.
How happy do the kids get when, you know, you guys reach a village in, let's say, Kunene region or so? What joy does it bring to the kids when you guys come there?
It's quite fascinating to see those faces. In the beginning, they don't know.
Yeah.
If we get to a school for the first time or a village for the first time, then they don't know cricket because they've never seen it. So,
yeah.
So first of all, it's a completely new thing for them. They've got no idea what it is. And as we start playing and as they start grasping what this is about and as they start hitting the ball, actually striking the ball, not missing.
Nice.
That is actually nothing.
Are you serious?
That is actually nothing.
If 50, I tell 000. You, if I... 50,000.
50,000 was probably back then when you guys were getting married, not
no,
now.
If you know the Rodora in Katima.
Yeah.
People can give about, I don't know how many cattle, maybe 20 or 15. And the 20, 20, how much? It's more than that, ne?
It's more than that.
Uh-huh. Now, but one cattle, one ox, or whatever you give there, it is almost 1,000 or 2,000.
Yeah.
So now, if you are to give one in the north, in the Oshiwambo and many other tribes, so you have, if you are to get it, this value about 9,000. One oxen. So if you divide that now, that the robora that they use there and the robora they use on the other side, you find out in terms of monetary value. So it is more expensive there in Katima.
No, in Katima it's really expensive. Extremely expensive. Yes.
Okay, if that is the case now, but I know that the way mine was done, it wasn't very expensive.
Yeah, you guys' marriages are not
that expensive. It was even very easy. I remember at one place of my father, one of my father's in-law. So we had only what I think that's very expensive. Only Oshiwambo food. No marodu, nothing, no alcohol, nothing was that day. So, but that was not my side. But on my side, it wasn't very much expensive. Maybe it's because we were in communion all the time. We planned together, we organized together, we did everything. You know, this one was good side.
Yeah.
But anyway, no problem. All I'm saying is that the people also have self-doubt. I need to have $100. I know people can spend now $1 million in wedding. But all I'm saying is that many people really doubt their ability. And this doubt also, it really prevents them from taking opportunity that are coming. Because you are just saying, I cannot do this. I don't. And when you have now a qualification, you sit at home now.
Yeah.
Waiting for the accountant office to open. But you cannot look for the other area where you have the ability and the skills and also maybe some of those kind of areas. So anyway, thank you very much. Because so it has to do with our mental attitude as well. And all these other issues that it can help. Because if we change our mind, our attitude toward life and issue of that nature, and you know, we shouldn't be doubting ourselves. So then you find out that, you know, all doors can be opening and things like that. And you explore in a lot of fields and a lot of activity. And then you see that, yes, you are all able to do something. So thank you very much, Madam Boss.
Thank you so much, Uncle.
God bless.
God bless.
Good. Mm.
4 past the hour of 5. Good afternoon to you. If you just tuned in, we will go for a short break, a commercial break, and we will come continue on the other side before we go on a musical break. Yeah?
Are you still buying data hoping it will last? Then switch to Paratus. Buying gigabytes is so old school. With our mobile LTE prepaid packages, you take charge. As we invest in time on our network, enjoying the freedom of uncapped data. When you buy a 1-day, 7-day, 14 or 30-day package, you get uncapped data usage. For the duration of the package, no matter how much data you use. Explore our range of Paratus mobile LTE prepaid packages and enjoy the speeds of up to 10 megabytes per second. And most importantly, remove the uncertainty about how long your data will last. Contact us today at 083-300-1000 or visit our website at www.paratus.africa/Namibia. Terms and conditions apply.
Always prepare Paratus.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Yes, and we continue. Thanks to Uncle Buana for coming through as usual, you know, and just giving a contribution to today's discussion. And if you're just tuned in and you're wondering, what are they talking about? What is happening? Well, we are talking about self-confidence, right? And we are at the part where we are looking at, you know, the roots of self-doubt. Sometimes what brings about, you know, the roots of self-doubt. And I mentioned social media, and, you know, the highlight reel effect, which seems to be playing a major role when it comes to individuals start doubting themselves and lacking self-confidence. And I mentioned the fact that social media is not realistic. It's not real. People will never put their sufferings there. People will never put their reality there. I know some they do, but in most cases, I can guarantee you that what people share on social media is just something that they want you to see. So in most cases, it's all good things, you know. Nothing about suffering, nothing about, you know, building in the background. It's not real, to be honest. And I also mentioned about, you know, negative self-talk. Talking badly about yourself as an individual, either to yourself or to even others around you. That is also a root cause of self-doubt. So another thing that also contributes to the roots of self-doubt is, you know, the role of upbringing as well as past experiences. So you find some people, how they were brought up, you know, the upbringing that they experienced, it's something that is not good. Probably it was abusive, or it was just not supporting them as an individual to become self-confident in life. Because you find some people when they were growing up, maybe they were never complimented, you know, to say, okay, you are doing a good job, you are doing something good, you must continue, you are on the right path, you know, just to try and boost their confidence. You find that people grew up with words like, so you think you can do that, or do you think you can actually achieve that or do that? That can actually start bringing self-doubt into someone. I remember in high school, I have a cousin of mine who got so disappointed with her best friend. I remember very well that that story. So she was in her final year of high school. And she felt like she could do biology on higher level, right? That is how confident she was in herself. And you know, most when you have friends, you share everything, almost everything with your friend, especially your best friend. So apparently she went to her best friend and she told her that, I'm thinking of, you know, doing my biology module on higher level. And apparently the best friend told her that, I don't think you are going to make it. I don't think you are going to pass. I would just advise you to, you know, take it on ordinary level. There you are going to pass it and all that. So she was really disappointed, and she also felt, you know, a sense of self-doubt, even though she had so much confidence in herself that she could actually take the biology module on higher level. But because this person that she trusts so much and their opinion counts or their opinion matters, that can actually be very harmful. And she came to me and she told me, like, you know, I couldn't believe what that girl was responding to me when I told her that I'd like to write a biology on higher level. So that's when I encouraged her, you know what, at the end of the day, the final decision lies with you. You are just, you know, sharing, maybe to hear a perspective from a friend or something like that. But realistically speaking, at the end of the day, you hold the key to decide that I'm unlocking this door and I am going to write this module, on higher level. So sometimes also, you know, past experiences that we experience in our lives, they can also play a huge, you know, a huge, huge role when it comes to us starting to have self-doubt, right? I also remember very well when I enrolled in university. Well, let's go for a commercial break and we will come continue with this conversation on the other side. Don't go away.
JSB. 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 Namibia, it's time to dream big with JSB Sports. The Mega Giveaway 2025 is here with a massive 1 million Namibian dollars in total prizes to be won. Here's how to win. With every losing bet on our sports book of 20 Namibian dollars or more, you're automatically entered into the draw. That's right. Even when luck isn't on your side, you still have a chance to win big. Back your favorite teams, take your best shot, and let your losses turn into an opportunity for glory. Don't miss out. Visit jsbsports.bet. Place your bets and be part of the action. JSB Sports. Bet with the best.
JSB supports responsible gambling and is not for persons under the age of 18.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Yes. And we continue. We will go for another commercial break in 3 minutes, 2 minutes. But yes, let me just also share an experience, you know, a past experience that I experienced. So when I enrolled at university, I also shared with a friend that, you know, I have enrolled at university and I've decided that I will go, you know, go and study. And I remember vividly his response was, "Are you going to manage?" I asked, "Am I going to manage in what sense?" "No, if your parents don't have, you know, cattle to support you and provide you at the university, I would advise you to actually forget about that idea." That was so, I don't even know which word to use to describe it, but it was really damaging, to be honest. But because I believed so much in myself, like I think the self-esteem was too high, I honestly didn't take that to heart. I just felt like, okay, it is his opinion and everybody is entitled to their opinion. I am going to do what I think is best for me. And I moved forward with my plan and I managed, hey, I managed. And here I am, a whole graduate with a qualification, whereas, somebody tried to demean or put the light out, but I didn't allow it. So past experiences like these ones, they can also, you know, contribute to the root of self-doubt. At the end of the day, as an individual, you find yourself that you are just doubting yourself, right? You don't believe in yourself because maybe you have been told so many times that I don't think you can do that. Or I don't think you will manage. Or I don't see you going that route. Or I don't see you going there. I don't think so. So sometimes it's also the past experiences that we experience, as well as the upbringing. If you were brought up in an environment where you were always pushed down or pushed aside, never encouraged, you know, never clapped for, you will definitely find yourself issues with self-doubt. Okay? We are going for another commercial break. We will come continue. That is on the other side.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% of its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Moolah when you need it. Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. AutoCash, it's that simple.
Oulio mnangeshefa no wahara kushivifa oma akuro yo kupitira mohorike radio station yo Eagle FM. Enya mukuro olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konorahe tatu imwe, heali imwe, ne heali, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa konorahe tatu natu, mbali o hetatu vatatu ne nola no natu nenge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
I almost said en shangwe. But yes, we continue. It is now 17 past the hour of 5. Yes, it is a beautiful Sunday. It is Africa Day. Yeah, happy Africa Day to all of us. You know, tuned in, listening. It is our day as a continent, right? To look at how far we have come, and where we have come from. So that is very, very important. And also another last point that could, you know, be the root of self-doubt is just naturally having the fear of failing and also the fear of success, right? So that could also be a contributing factor when it comes to self-doubt, because you find that there are people who really fear failure. And if there's anything that I've learned in this life is that if you don't try something, you will never know the outcome at the end of the day. Whether you are going to fail or you are going to manage, you will never know if you don't try something. So a lot of people are struggling out there with self-doubt just because they have this fear of failing. So what if I apply for a job and they reject my application? That is just yourself thinking. It is not yet confirmed that if you apply, they are going to reject your application. It's just you sitting there and thinking, doubting yourself. So you end up not applying for the job. So you will never know if you stood a chance for the job or not. Fear of failing. Or maybe there's a qualification you would want to, you know, add to any qualifications you have or achieve that qualification. But because you have a fear of failing, whether it's failing tests or it's failing, you know, a module and repeating it and all that, you will just decide, no, I don't think I can do this. No, I am not going to do this, actually. And then what does that do to you at the end of the day? It holds you back as an individual. It holds you back as an individual. So it is very important that it, by all means, we avoid things that lead to self-doubt. We really, really need to start, you know, becoming confident in ourselves as individuals. Because at the end of the day, if you don't believe in your own abilities, your own skills, who is going to do it for you? There is no one, right? There is no one. So me as Abigail, I need to be confident in the fact that I can sit behind the mic and host a show for listeners to listen. They can, you know, they will be entertained from that particular show. They will be informed. They will be educated. I need to be confident in that skill because I am the one who has that skill, right? I cannot expect the likes of Uncle Bwana having, you know, belief in that ability to say, no, we actually believe in you, Abigail. You can do that. No, it has to start with me, right? So whatever comes from you as listeners to say, Abigail is actually capable of, you know, doing a great show. That is just you adding on top of whatever I already believe in. So we really, really need to start believing in our abilities at the end of the day, because nobody else can have that confidence in you if not you. I hope I am making sense. I really hope so. Because, you know, English has a tendency of mixing up a meaning, right? So I hope I am really making sense on this one. So we really need to do away with self-doubt, finding ourselves being inferior, finding ourselves comparing ourselves to others, you know, or societal pressures. We also need to do away with that. But one thing I can tell you is that this generation of people, my generation, one thing I've realized is that we do not subscribe to societal pressures. We don't, to be honest. And I really applaud our generation for that, because societal pressures, sometimes they can also really, you know, push a person into doing things they are not supposed to do. Just because society has been doing it, society is expecting that of you as a person, or of you as being part of society. And then now you feel like, oh, you have no choice, but you have to do it as well. This generation does not do that. If anything, we are doing things, number one, on our pace. We are doing things, number two, because we want to do them. You don't find this generation getting married because getting married is a norm. We don't do that. You don't find this generation having kids because having kids is expected by society from us. We don't do that. If anything, we are now having kids because we want to have kids. And we are financially aware that if I bring this child into my life, I will be able to take care of it. So it's fine. I will have this child, or I will have these kids. We do not subscribe to societal pressures anymore, to be honest. We don't. And I love it for us. It is really a great era, you know, to live in. Experience this. I am happy. Now let's go for a musical break before I get too excited and talk about our generation that is really doing amazing things. We are not subscribing to societal pressures, where people are expected to get married as soon as they are 20 or 20 something and start reproducing to have families. We don't do that here. No. We are doing things that we want to do. Yeah? Lionel Richie, Do It To Me One More Time. I love this one. I hope you will enjoy it.
Girl, you're such a bad thing, standing there all alone, looking so good to me, baby. Can't do no wrong, hey, baby. Put your arms around me, set my world on. Ain't never gonna be nobody like you, baby. Honey, that's no lie, yeah. You put that spell on me, I'll tell you, honey. You know you set me free. Hey, little girl, you know my heart's desires. Come on and give it to me, baby. I can't deny you. Hey, hey.
baby. It's you I desire. Hey, hey, what I'm saying is do it to me one more time. I'll give you one more chance. This heart of mine. Do it to me one more time, baby. Can't get enough of your love. Enough of your love. Oh, my friends say I'm a dreamer. It takes a fool in love to know what I'm feeling. Each time you say
FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
It ain't a question. Oh, it ain't no one for guessing. Show more than emotionally invested. Showing you all my imperfections. Oh, if I let you, don't take me for granted. Yeah. If I'm worth more than you could manage. Manage, yeah. Open with me, oh, we could be honest. Closer to me, oh, giving me signs. That you won't let me fall. Holding me tight, loving me right, giving me life all night. You could be telling me lies, making me cry, wasting my time the whole time. So just be careful what you take for granted.
yeah. Worry about it, I'm putting pressure. You'll only cut me if I let you. No, we ain't doing this just for pleasure. Either learn me or I'm a lesson.
If you want me, don't take me for granted. Yeah, if I'm worth more than you could manage, baby. Oh, you're falling for me. Oh, baby, I caught it. Oh, we could be whatever you want, call it. Promise that you won't let me fall. Oh, oh, oh. Holding me tight, loving me right. Telling me lies, making me cry, wasting my time, the whole time. So just be careful what you take for granted, yeah. Cause with me, no, you could do damage. You could do damage. You could do damage. Oh, you could do damage. Oh, you could do damage.
Shifa no haro kushivifa oma kuroyo kupitira muhurike radio station ayo Eagle FM enyamukulo olongaha ningekwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konora hitatu imwe heari imwe ne heari imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116 momberewa konora hitatu natu mbali o hitatu vatatu ne nola no natu ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opomone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
I won't let no one take.
Of Toni Braxton on this one titled "I Love Me Some Him," and I think I will dedicate this one to all the lovers on this beautiful Sunday afternoon, wherever you are tuning us from. And before this one, her came through with the song titled "Damage," and before that one, we had Lionel Richie with "Do It to Me One More Time." It is a beautiful Sunday afternoon, so we really have to compliment it with the lovely music. It is also Africa Day. We are celebrating Africa Day today. Don't forget that, right? Now. It's just a few seconds remaining, yes, now I can just say the time. It is now 20 minutes to the hour of 6 o'clock. And if you just tuned in, welcome to the crossover right here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, the only talk radio in Namibia. And of course, you are with me, Abigail, until 20 minutes from now, where I'll be saying my goodbyes to you, leaving you with Hendy, that is on the Eagle Spot Zone, and he will be with you from the hour of 6 to the hour of 8 o'clock tonight. Yeah? And if you are wondering what is today's discussion, well, today we are talking about self-confidence. And before the musical break, well, we were looking at, some things that usually lead to self-doubt or the roots of self-doubt. Because if confidence is the goal, there are obstacles that we usually face as individuals, where self-doubt emanates from or where self-doubt comes from. And this could be, past failures, or just you as a person comparing yourself to others. Or just societal pressures, because sometimes, society can put so much pressure, on you as an individual. So a lot of things are actually the roots of self-doubt. I also mentioned the impact of social media, how social media impacts you as an individual into now doubting yourself, and also a negative self-talk. Why it is not a good idea to always speak about yourself in a negative manner. And also sometimes it's just, the upbringing we are coming from or the past experiences that can actually lead to, self-doubt, such as critical parents, as well as maybe bullying, you probably experienced bullying that can also play a major role in you, you know, doubting yourself as an individual, and also just the fear of failing. A lot of us really just want to win, win, win. We forget that failing is also existing for a reason. So there is a reason why sometimes in life you have to fail. Probably is to learn and, you know, do better or become better as a person. But there is a reason why failure is part of life. So some of us, we find ourselves, you know, having the fear of failing. And that is not good for you at the end of the day. So we have identified the problem. So now what is the solution, right? What is that you can do as a person, you know, to genuinely build and strengthen your self-confidence? What is it? So the first thing, okay, I see I have a caller.
Eagle FM?
No, we agree with you. We are in agreement. That we shouldn't doubt ourselves or maybe societally pressure. Yeah, there's sometimes things like that they feel. If you drop out from school, for example, and I know, me, I trust because when I hear now and you look at the situation, it's the young, energetic one who are running some of those companies. Okay?
Yeah.
So they really have the, maybe it's just a matter of encouraging those who are now doubting themselves that yes, those who are in those hierarchies of institutions
mm-hmm.
are the other ones. They grow until they reach this level. So they shouldn't be doubting themselves, but they just need some kind of motivation, you know?
Yeah.
As you are saying. And without that motivation and all these things, people start to doubt themselves because sometimes the message that we are giving, it's more discouraging, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So thank you very much for the presentation.
Well, thank you so much, Uncle.
Okay, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mm.
Very true. Self-doubt is self, what is the word? You know, sometimes English can be embarrassing sometimes. You know, when you are trying to say a word and then it just completely disappears from your mouth and then you are just now left there looking like maybe you don't know what you want to say, you know. But in actual fact, it's just that the word just disappeared. It flew from your vocabulary. Yeah, so self-doubt is actually self-harming. When you are doubting yourself, all you are doing is harming yourself. So let's stay away from it. Let's avoid it at all cost. Stop doubting yourself. Even when you feel in doubt, just try to find a way to encourage yourself at the end of the day. So now let's look at how we can, you know, build as well as strengthen our self-confidence. So the first tip is to recognize and emphasize your strength. Reward and praise yourself for your efforts as well as progress. So it is very important to recognize and emphasize your strength. I could give you a story on, you know, when it comes to recognizing and emphasizing your strength. So late last year, I got invited to a written test for the first time. So I applied for this job and I got an invitation for a written test. And when I got to the venue of the written test, I couldn't believe the number of people that were there, to be honest. We were a lot. We were more than 50, to be honest. Maybe we were even close to, I don't even know, maybe 70 there, if I'm not exaggerating. But we were really a lot. They even had to split us, I think, into three rooms, you know, just to write the test. So when I came out, I remember when I got the question paper first of that test, I said, there is no way I am going to pass this test. It was out of 100 marks. It was three questions. Yes. So the first question was 40 marks and the other two questions were 30 marks each. And I remember when I saw that question paper, I told myself, there is no way I'm going to pass this test. I might as well just get up and, you know, just leave the venue so I don't have to waste my time. But then something in me just told me, but you can just try, you know, just try. You have nothing to lose here. The hour was, the test was an hour. And I decided to, you know, try. You know, and I wrote the test. I tried. And then, shocking enough, I was called for the oral interview. Okay? That's when I actually recognized, you know, my strength. That you are actually capable. I think you just don't give much credit to yourself. And in that very moment, to be honest, honestly shaped, you know, the manner or the way that I look, about myself, or in the manner that I carry myself, or how I think about myself, it totally changed everything. Because in that number of all those people who went for that written test, only 8 of us were chosen for the oral interview. And I already felt like I had won, to be honest. Even though I didn't pass the oral interview, I never got the job. But I can tell you now that I really felt like I won. Merely because I passed that test that I never, ever, ever thought or pictured I was going to be able to pass. So it is very important in life to recognize and emphasize your strength, and also rewarding and praising yourself for your efforts and progress. Because I really put effort in that test, right? You know, I could have stood up, I could have walked away, but because something in me told myself, you are stronger than standing up and walking away. Do this. You never know. And I did it. So let's also build, or let's, you know, plant the seed of praising ourselves as an individuals, you know, for the efforts we do on a daily basis, as well as the progress that we do on a daily basis. Another tip is that when you stumble on an obstacle, treat yourself with kindness and compassion. Don't dwell on the failure. Very, very important. When you hit a stumbling block, it's very important that you need to tell yourself that this is not the end. This is not where I, you know, I finish or I stop. This is just a stumbling block, and I am going to move past this. I will be able to move past this stumbling block, because it's okay to fail in life. That's why failure is part of life. It is okay to fail in life. Don't dwell on failure. Another tip is to set realistic and achievable goals. Always, always advise you on this one. Do not expect perfection. It is impossible to be perfect in every aspect of life. So it is very important that you set realistic and achievable goals, because you need to also realize that there's time involved. There might also be money involved when you are setting goals that you'd like to achieve. So be realistic when you are doing this. If you want to buy a house, you need to be realistic as to when do you think you can acquire this house or a car, or, you know, maybe study or take yourself on a trip. You need to be realistic when it comes to, you know, setting goals. And also another tip is to slow down when you are feeling intense emotions, and think logically about the situation. It's very important. There are times in life where you will feel like, maybe I am moving too fast. I need to slow down, right? Because I am just rushing into doing these things and it's not logical. So you need to think logically about the situation, slow down. When you are feeling that, okay, this is not the pace I'm supposed to be walking on or running on. I am actually walking faster than I'm supposed to, well, I'm actually running faster than I'm supposed to, and my heart is gonna stop if I don't stop. So you need to do that. Slow down and also think logically about the situation. Another tip is to challenge making assumptions about yourself, people, and situations. Yeah, no. There are times when I still find myself, you know, making assumptions. And in most cases, it's when I'm having a conversation with my friend, and she would always, you know, let me know, on the fact that, okay, you are now assuming, you know, whether it's a situation or it's a person or it's people, she would always tell me, okay, you are now assuming, and that is wrong. It's not right. So you need to challenge making assumptions about yourself. Even you yourself as an individual, you shouldn't do, you know, assumptions on yourself. It's wrong. If you didn't try to do something and you're just assuming, please don't do that. So you need to challenge yourself when it comes to assuming whether it's about yourself, other people, other situations. And another tip is to, you know, recognize that past negative life experiences do not dictate your future. If you failed at some point in life, in your past life, that does not mean you are going to fail again. No. No. If anything, you need to understand that, you know, we go through different life experiences, but they do not detect that that is your future. No ways. And also another tip is to express your feelings, beliefs, and needs directly and respectfully. If you feel that there is a need that you require, you know, from a friend or a partner or, you know, or somebody or a colleague, a coworker, you need to learn how to express your feelings directly and respectfully. Right? Last but not least, learn to say no to unreasonable requests. Let's go out tomorrow for lunch. And you know you don't have money for lunch. And the only money you have is to probably buy something for your house. Or you completely don't have money for lunch. And because you don't know how to say no, you will go for lunch and go spend maybe taxi money to work. And then you don't have taxi money anymore because you just don't know how to say no. Now you have to start borrowing money around, asking for money. Please borrow me 300. 300 that you were having because you just don't know how to say no. You went for lunch, even though you knew the only money you have is the 300 for taxi for this week until payday. So learn to say no to unreasonable requests, right? Learn to say no. Or if it's somebody who's just approaching you, they are asking for money and that's the last money you have, be logical and say, no, I can't, unfortunately, because this is the only money, that I have. And if I give you, I will not have any money, unfortunately. So in a nutshell, these are a few tips that you could implement. You know, to try and genuinely build and, you know, strengthen your self-confidence. It is 5 minutes to the hour of 6 o'clock. I believe this is where I say my goodbyes to you. I hope, the conversation was, you know, educative, entertaining, and it was also lovely. You enjoyed it. I will see you next Sunday. Like I said, this is the last Sunday in the month of May. So next Sunday, we are going to be in a new month. It's going to be a new month. So from me, Abigail, it is adios. Enjoy the rest of your week. I know majority of you guys are not going to work. You'll just be home, relaxing, enjoying the holidays. So it's tomorrow, Monday, it's Wednesday, it's Thursday, all holidays. So people will only go to work on Tuesday as well as Fridays. I'll be leaving you with the sounds of Luther Vandross on this one, titled Amazing. Bye-bye.
Or minute have I had since you've come my way? I hope you know I'd gladly go anywhere you take me. It's so amazing to be loved. I'd follow you to the moon and the sky above. Tell you how you thrill me. I'm happy as I can be. You have come and it's changed my whole world. Bye-bye, sadness. Hello, mellow. What a wonderful day. It's so amazing to be loved. I'd follow you to the moon. And it's so amazing, so amazing. I could stay forever here in love and believe you never. Cause we've got amazing love. Truly it's amazing, and amazing. Love brought us together. I will leave you never and never. Yes, we've got amazing love. So amazing, and I've been waiting for a love like you. It's so amazing to be loved. I follow you to the moon and the sky above. Oh, and it's so, so, it's so amazing to be. To the moon and the sky above. And you know, so, it's so amazing to be loved. I'd follow you to the moon.